Welcome, everyone. So are you tired of the same old ways of seeing things? Well, you've come to the right place. Here, we cut through the world of surface appearances and look for the light that's rare in the depths. Here, we dive into the dark waters where strange creatures move. Here, we're free to be that foolish knight who lunges at windmills and who lights up the world with his magical vision. It's all too much, says George Harrison. That's true, but all the more reason to jump into it and intoxicate yourself with life's infinite profusion. After all, you don't discover new lands by sticking close to the shore, do you? This is the Wisdom Of, and coming up today, with a technique for everything, what's left of the mysterious? Okay, how's it going, everybody? I hope you're all doing well. Okay, so in this episode, I thought I'd try to say something about a prevailing trend. Or at least, it's a trend that's been noticed by a few philosophers throughout the last near century or so. And that is the disappearance of what we might call mystery. Or to put it another way, maybe, on the prevailing worship of technique and its assumed ability to deal with all of life's experiences. Okay, well, you know, that probably sounds like a mouthful, and so not very clear. Well, so let me try to explain by starting with the philosopher William Barrett. So Barrett wrote a book published in the late 1970s called The Illusion of Technique, and in it he says some really interesting things. Specifically, he says some really interesting things about the form that our thinking is taking today. Basically, what he argues is that we are increasingly adopting a more and more technical way of thinking, or of approaching the world. And what he means by that is that we tend to approach things thinking that there's a technique for everything. That is, that there's a set of rules for everything. That there's a way to control for and manipulate and solve all problems, in much the same way that there is a, say, for putting together an IKEA table or fixing the engine in your car. In other words, because we have come to believe so much in technique, there's a sense of the ideal of completeness or ultimate solvability that governs our approach to things. We can find the solution to all problems, and with the greatest efficiency. We just have to find the right technique. We just have to be skilled technicians. As Barrett himself says, you just have to find the right method and definite procedure, and all the problems of life must inevitably yield before it. But here's the thing. For Barrett, the ultimate upshot of this is that there are increasingly less enigmas, less mysteries out there for us to experience. Nothing is open-ended anymore. No, when our main contact with our environment is one mediated by instrumentalist ways of thinking and by the hegemony of technique, then the enigmatic and the ambiguous is no longer tolerated, and life gets truncated. Okay, now, if that wasn't very clear, let's turn to an example or two. One that Barrett, in fact, uses. So what he talks about is how the market today is flooded with how-to manuals. And one such group of manuals in particular is very revealing. It has to do with all those books that allege to teach us how to make love properly. And successfully. So there's a technique to lovemaking, and in fact, to love more generally. There is a set of rules and a correct procedure for all of this. So why settle for messiness and ambiguity in love when that can be corrected for and eliminated? when all problems in love can be solved with the right technique. Actually, you know, speaking of this assurance of solving problems, there's another philosopher that I think is pretty relevant here when it comes to Barrett's outlook and concerns. And that is the little-known French philosopher Gabriel Marcel. So, the two concepts that he often uses are these. First, there's what he calls the problem, and then there's what he calls the mystery. Okay, so what does he mean by these two? Well, without going into too much detail, basically he takes these to be two ways of approaching the world. So, first, to approach things from the realm of the problematic is to see something as, well, as a problem. It's to see something as a problem with an eye to finding its solution, a solution that is discoverable by anyone given that they follow the right procedure. It's essentially to approach something in an impersonal and scientific way. Okay, but what about the way of mystery? Well, that's different. That's really the opposite of the problematic. When you're in the realm of the mystery, whatever you're faced with or experiencing, that's something that's not susceptible to the technical and to the measurable. It's not something that you can dispassionately stand back from and figure out a solution to. It's not characterized by the objective. Like, for example, you know, whatever the facts about the engine happen to be when your car won't start. And that's in part because in mystery, you are yourself implicated in that experience and unique to it, and so it's not something that's solvable in the same way. Okay, so let's take love again. So love, for Marcel, is definitely not a problem. It doesn't involve a mechanistic way of thinking. It's not something to be explained and reduced and solved. It's not something that needs to be followed by some universal procedure or set of rules to succeed. It's not something that, if approached correctly, promises completion or finality. No expert technician can come in to assist and critique, you know, like a car mechanic might in helping someone who's trying to fix their engine. No, love, for Marcel, is something to be experienced and lived and absorbed, and something that incites wonder and awe and open-endedness and ambiguity. It's something that requires you to go beyond the abstract and beyond the technical, and so beyond the predictable aspects of it. Only when you do this do you enter the realm of mystery that love shares in. Again, let me repeat that because it's important. You must go beyond the technical to reach love. Despite all the marketing promises out there, all the rules and the top 10 lists and all the techniques, these will not take you higher. There is a breadth of being that simply cannot be accessed by through the realm of the problematic or the technical. In other words, there are certain experiences, certain domains of being that techniques actually close us off from. Or to put all this slightly differently, when, in love, you treat another person as a problem to be solved, what you're doing is you're depersonalizing the situation. In effect, you're creating a division between you, the subject, and the other person, the object. A process of abstraction and reduction, which ultimately takes you further away from its mystery. Now, all this is not to say that for Marcel, the realm of the problematic or technical isn't important. It obviously is. I mean, there is an enormously important place for the investigations of the doctor and the scientist and the engineer. Such domains of knowledge are necessary for human existence, of course. Now, Marcel doesn't deny that, and no one in their right mind should. But the concern, though, for Marcel is this. It's when techniques transgress their boundaries and try to reduce the mysteries of life to problems. This is something he thought was happening more and more, and he called it the broken world. Anyway, when this happens, when we reduce all mysteries to problems, when we fit everything under the paradigm of the problematic, what we're doing is we're choking off any potentiality for transcendence. Or, at least, what happens is that the breadth and experience of life tends to get severely diminished. I mean, if this isn't quite clear, maybe another way of coming at the spirit of this is by looking at our emphasis on something like speed and efficiency today, which you might say are really just properties of the problematic or technical. So it seems like today, speed has become something like an end in itself and no longer a means. That's to say, we seem to almost value it for its own sake. Everything has to function as quickly as possible, period. But again, aren't we losing out on something here? In our idolatry of speed and efficiency, aren't we losing out on noticing what's around us? Aren't we being a bit like a car enthusiast who exults in driving the fastest cars, but at the expense of losing out on what passes by him on the road? In this sense, you might say that what the worship of speed often does is it mitigates against the recognition of quality or a sense of the sacred. Or, to put it another way, it's actually only by occasionally slowing down that what's really important or sacred is allowed to reveal itself. As Marcel noted, this is something that every old pilgrim or traveler knew. They knew that it was actually the very slowness of the progress of their journey that was crucial, because that opened them up to a feeling of veneration for things. By speeding up, the space and availability of the sacred attenuates. So again, something like this is what Marcel means when he says that when we reduce mysteries to problems, we choke off any sort of transcendence or depth of experience that's associated with mystery. Actually, for him, you might say that what's really going on is that there's an element of something like grace that lies at the heart of love, and what's more, that's occasioned by slowing down. And let's not forget, if anything lies at the opposite pole of the technical, it's grace.
Listening to
The Wisdom of Podcast.
If you want to know more about this topic or the podcast in general, visit wisdomofpod.com